We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I do mean this one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, let me reach back here and grab my notes for Dipper number one. And by the way, while I'm getting that stack of stuff here to start walking through with you, let me just remind you that today, being Wednesday, is the latest edition of the Right Philosophy video podcast is out. I put it in the can Sunday, I think it was, and production got it finished up, and it was uploaded today. So it is out right now. You can go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. And the Right Philosophy video podcast is up now. And while you're at it, too, by the way, don't forget the just a few days ago, the most recent edition of the Right Click video podcast came out with Birdman. And he's got a new studio look, and it is pretty cool. So check out Right Click and Right Philosophy. They're both up right now, and I suspect the next edition will be out this Friday. We're pretty pleased with all these. Okay, let me just start by saying that we're in... we are in unprecedented times. I mean, we've had some situations in our nation's history, right? We have. We've had presidents assassinated. We've had presidential candidates assassinated, RFK, JFK, Abraham Lincoln. It's not unheard of, obviously. But has there ever been a time like we're in right now where there have been multiple attempts on the same individual's life during the same campaign season? I don't think there has. And I said the other day on the show, and I mean it with all sincerity, we cannot become conditioned to this. We cannot become desensitized to this. We can't. At the same time, I don't want President Trump to not be able to live his life. If the man is earned a day on the golf course, he needs to be able to play a round of golf without having to worry about somebody hiding out on the fairway ready to shoot him for just being himself. What's amazing to me is the number of people out there who cannot get past the rhetoric. They can't get past their emotions. And they're so wrapped up in what's going on. It's Trump. We can't have Trump. He's a threat to democracy. It's horrible. And they, listen, have you ever heard of civil discourse? Have you ever heard of disagreeing? I don't like your opinion. I'm not going to take a gun to you. I don't like your politics. I'm not going to take a gun to your candidate. I can't stand Kamala Harris as a person. I don't know her, but I don't like what I know of her. But I am not ever going to call for violence on this. You know why? Because I believe that people have a right to their own opinion. I just hope there's more people with my opinion when it comes time to vote. We've got to get back to that place. Got to. There is zero excuse, and there's also zero reason why we should ever become desensitized to the fact that there is zero excuse for this level of rancor and violence.
You and Dr. Phil about it?
This is, okay, anyway, let me just do this. Let's talk about a few things that we do know, some of which are new details. Right now, we're looking at, okay, they're following up on the issue. Obviously, this past Sunday, Trump makes an unexpected effort to play some golf. And a guy who now know is Ryan Wesley Routh, 58 years old, allegedly set up a hide site. What we're learning now is that he hid there for over 12 hours. Here's my question. How did he know where Trump was going to be? We still don't know the answer to this. How did he know where Trump was going to be when the Secret Service says they did not even have time to do a full-on search of the premises because this was an unplanned stop, an unplanned round of golf? How did Ryan Wesley Routh know to get out there and lay on the golf course back in the woods with a rifle for 12 hours? Story here on the New York Post. Secret Service agents... says they did not sweep the outskirts of Donald Trump's Florida golf course where his alleged would-be assassin was hiding because it was an off-the-record plan, the embattled agency's acting director said. And yet, Ryan Wesley Routh, who we'll talk about in more detail in a minute, hid there for nearly 12 hours before Trump 78 teed off on Sunday afternoon. Acting Secret Service head Ronald Rowe said Monday that agents did not mount an intense search of the perimeter because the 45th president's round was not on his official calendar. The president wasn't even supposed to go there. It was not on his official schedule. And so we put together a security plan. The security plan did work. Now, let me say this. Yes, it did. It was a Secret Service agent, a rank-and-file guy who was part of the detail, who was walking ahead of the president. And I've seen a layout now of the golf course. He really was about to be in the line of fire. He was coming around a dogleg on the course, I think hole number 5, and was about to be coming down a fairway that would have put him in the line of sight of where the shooter was laying. But the Secret Service agent got him. The suspect was able to get within a few hundred yards of Trump at the chain link fence where he had an AK-47 and a GoPro camera, a couple of backpacks. He had also secured ballistic shields to the fence line. It was an agent who spotted his weapon, his barrel of his weapon, poking through the fence that opened fire on him, at which point he dropped his rifle and ran away and got in his vehicle and left, and they caught him. Here's a piece of information we may not have had before. According to Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw, Trump's security detail was lighter because he's not a sitting president. Now, I don't know what Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw knows about Secret Service assignments. But he says the president didn't have the same level of security detail that a sitting president would have. That better not be true. I saw one headline that I've not tried to bird dog in detail yet that said that Barack Obama gets more security than Donald Trump does. No one's trying to shoot Barack Obama. People don't like him. Barack Obama in recent history was probably one of the most vilified presidents by the right, and yet nobody tried to shoot him. Here's another piece of information that we've learned just in recent days. Near shooting happened in recent days. Is the spot where the guy was laying out in the wood line is a spot that is known by news photographers and paparazzi who sneak in there to get images of Trump when he's playing, because this is his golf course. It's a security gap that somehow or another the gunman knew about. So the gunman knew where to go. He knew a spot that was often used by paparazzi and cameras, which means you would think that would be a place that Secret Service would have been keyed on, because it's a spot that is known to be vulnerable or exploited in the past. And yet he got there and laid on the site for 12 hours for a target that was not even supposed to be there that day because it wasn't on his official calendar. So how did he know? How did he know where to go? How did he know when to go? This whole thing reeks. Now, I will say this. Hey, Big Rick, I said I got a call on the line. Is he on topic? Is it the same topic? Let me grab that real quick before he waits any longer. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing okay, sir. But I'm wondering two things real quick. How many possible attempts have been made to have an assassin on someone and they got scared off and nobody ever saw them?
Yeah, we'll never know. Yeah.
And then the other one is, why weren't there paparazzi at his location at that time?
I don't know. That's a great question. You would think that if the shooter knew, that the paparazzi also still know. Why aren't they there trying to get pictures? I don't know. Maybe they got enough pictures of Trump. I don't know. Good question.
Y'all have a good one. See you, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, the question he asked there momentarily or a moment ago was, I wonder how many attempts have been thwarted because we'll never know it. Things that maybe just fell apart. The plans didn't work. The shooter, you know, or the assassin got cold feet. Who knows? There was an old song, was it Amy Grant? I think it was Amy Grant had this song back in the 80s. Was it called Angels Watching Over Me? And it was basically talk about all the things that happen that you don't know they happen because God intervened. And you couldn't even, like one of the lines was the reckless car that ran out of gas before it came my way. And so we don't know. We don't know how many times there have been a true intervention. But I do believe this. I believe there was a divine intervention on the shooting 2 weeks ago, and perhaps there was a divine intervention this time as well. The problem we've got, though, is that in the world right now, we're at a different level of threat. If it is true that what we're hearing is that Trump is not being given the same level of security as people like Barack Obama or, for that matter, Joe Biden, if he's not getting the same level of protection, then the question has to be begged, why? Because he's been shot at or almost shot at twice. He's had actual movement on his life twice in the last 60 days. If that's not grounds for ramping things up, I don't know what is. And then secondly, how did old boy know to get there to a place where there wasn't anything going on the calendar and lay up on the site for 12 hours in a spot that is known to be where people sneak in to get pictures and to try and kind of hide next to the golf course? It's a known spot. Listen, the whole thing reeks in Ron DeSantis, who I'm still a huge DeSantis fan. And I hope that his you know, potential for running for president is not gone. But Ron DeSantis, as governor of Florida, has determined that they will indeed pursue their own state-level investigation. I mentioned that the other day when I was on the air with you, I think on Monday. But now it's official. So story here from the Daily Wire came out today. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has now signed an executive order authorizing the Florida Attorney General to conduct a criminal investigation into the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. I mean, first of all, here's DeSantis' quote. He says, "The state of Florida is conducting its own investigation into the second attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. It is not in the best interest of our state and nation to have the same federal agencies that are seeking to prosecute Trump trying to lead the investigation." He says, "Jurisdiction over the most serious, readily provable offense is attempted murder, and I've directed our state agencies to move expeditiously to provide full transparency to the public. There will be accountability in Florida." And he goes on to say, "I want the information to get out. I don't want any information kept under wraps." All right, what do we know about the shooter? When we come back from this break, I'm going to talk about some things that we have learned about the shooter. Like, who was this guy? And why didn't he get on somebody's radar? Well, how about this? He was on the radar, and he still got to lay up on the site with a rifle for 12 hours. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Making common sense like a superpower.
All right, so I'm back on Dipper number one here, Trump Under Fire, part two. By the way, I have a piece of breaking news, so this is not related to the Dipper, but I feel like it's worth bringing up. This is breaking right now. Fox News is reporting that the Teamsters Union has decided not to endorse anybody in the White House race. Why is that a big deal? Well, so first of all, the Teamsters have been in bed with Democrats now for how long? Like decades. This is a thing. This is almost like a you-can-take-it-for-granted kind of endorsement. You know, it's like saying the teachers union or anybody else. The Teamsters have always been endorsing the Democrat candidate for decades. And they did an internal poll, apparently, of their own people. Teamsters nationwide came out, I think 58% said they were more supportive of Trump. And so the union decided not to endorse anybody. Which is, in a way, de facto saying we endorse Trump. It's a de facto, a non-endorsement in this case is like an endorsement for Trump. And so it's huge. It's breaking news right now. It's talking about it being a real blow to Democrats. It means they're losing part of their base. And that's nothing but good. That's nothing but good right there. All right, so we'll move on here. I'll touch base on that more if it comes out that there's something else to say. But I think it's interesting. I think it's very interesting. I think it's also telling that I do believe there's a silent majority out there. We're seeing polls that it's still neck and neck. I still believe, though, that there's a silent majority. I mean, it's closer than I want it to be. I'd love to see a runaway race right now for Trump. But I still think, though, that Republicans are doing better than the polls are indicating, simply because you've got groups like the Teamsters that don't often speak out for anything other than their chosen Democrat, you know, masters. But in this case, there are. I think there's a silent majority that's going to wind up showing up, and we need it. All right, let's talk about this for a minute. This guy, this shooter, he lays up for 12 hours. What do we know about this guy? Well, we know he's a nut. Okay, of course he's a nut. He laid up on a golf course for 12 hours with a rifle to try and shoot the president of the United States, or the former president, soon to be next president of the United States. But y'all, he was a known entity. That's what really bugs me here. He was a known entity. He wrote a book, which is, by the way, still available on Amazon, if I understand correctly. His book is called The Fatal Flaw of Democracy, World Abandonment, and the Global Citizen, Taiwan, Afghanistan, North Korea, and the End of Humanity. It's still available for $2.99 on Amazon. In the book, he talks about the fact that he believed in assassinating Trump and even authorized people to go find a way to do it. And he talks about, you know, things like apologizing to Iran for letting Trump be in office. He also is known to have spent time in Ukraine trying to become a Ukrainian freedom fighter, but they didn't want him because he began to be seen as a nut. But he was over there, though, getting involved. He was going over there ostensibly to do humanitarian assistance and wound up trying to become a freedom fighter. Then he talked big smack about how he was going to recruit former Afghans who got out of Afghanistan that now feel displaced, who might hate Russia, and would get them to come and be an Afghan battalion to fight in Ukraine. I mean, the whole thing, it was on and on and on. He got involved in trying to procure weapons. He got involved in trying to procure drones. He actually came back and apparently spoke to members of Congress. We have video. I saw a video today that appears to be him at a Kamala Harris event. He had a Kamala Harris Biden or a Harris Waltz sticker on his pickup truck or his SUV. We know that his donor records show that even though there were small donations, he has given multiple times to Democrat candidates. But then you got this. Last night, Jesse Waters had a really interesting interview with a nurse by the name of Chelsea Walsh, who had gone to Ukraine to do humanitarian relief work. And while she was there, she became aware and got to know this guy, Ryan Routh. And she said that he was volatile, and that she actually left the country early in part because she felt threatened by him and did not feel like it was in her best interest to stay there knowing that he was there. Her words, she said, and I heard it last night on the interview, she said, "I determined that after knowing Ryan for a while that he was a threat to others, so I felt it was necessary he be reported." So she reported him, I believe, to the Department of State and the FBI. She did say that one of the agencies has finally contacted her now. Yeah, now. Now they have, after he's already laid up on trying to shoot the president. She said that she felt like, as a nurse, that she was a mandatory first reporter and had to report it. So what do we know about this guy? Well, he was calculated, and in her words, he was volatile and sporadic, and he had a fascination with the idea of killing world leaders. And she reported him, and he knew where to be, and he knew when to be, and he knew where he could lay up on the golf course. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the rhetoric that's out there and break it all down in one final stage here on Dipper Number One. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two here on Hump Day. We're going to get you all the way to go home time for the middle of the week. And don't forget, 4 o'clock, we have the Grand Council. Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson joining me, as always, on Wednesdays at 4. Let's wrap this thing up. I got a bunch of text messages for y'all that I'll be getting to here momentarily. I'm in Trump Under Fire Part 2. That's I did the first part on Monday. This story is going to continue to develop, and we may have Part 3 and 4 for the week's out. Who knows? But let's talk for a minute. So what we know, let's first of all, we know a few more details about the events that occurred on Sunday. The fact that the shooter somehow knew to get to a golf course where Trump was not scheduled to be, to lay up for 12 hours in a spot where he had clear line of fire, which, by the way, was a spot that was known to be where paparazzi and others would try to sneak in and take pictures. And on top of that, we know that the shooter himself is a man who was documented to be volatile, to call for the death of Donald Trump, to have radical ideas. He, listen, you remember all the stuff back during the Russia collusion narratives? I mean, we had campaign members of the Trump campaign who were like nowhere near anything big, who were somehow involved in alleged Russia collusion. And don't you understand? And they were doing nothing but having a drink in a bar or something like that. You've got a guy now who somehow, with like no money to his name, is able to fly back and forth to Ukraine, meet with members of Congress in D.C., get reported by people who he was with overseas to the acronym agencies who should have oversight over this, and still manage to not get caught up in someone's radar? Really? But then you have to look at the environment that we're in. What is it about today's environment that is inciting people who are obviously unstable to do things that are obviously awful? What is it about what we're in right now that has caused there to be two major actual attempts on a presidential candidate's life? Because this is not normal, and it should never be allowed to become normal. This is not normal, nor should we ever sit still and accept it. You cannot become conditioned to this. And yet, Joy Reid, bless her heart, because we're in Alabama, I can say bless her heart. You can say anything you want to about somebody as long as you say bless their heart. She's dumb as a bag of hammers, bless her heart. Woman's got a face, could stop a train, bless her heart. It does. But anyway, Joy Reid, MSNBC host, claimed on Monday evening that supporters of former President Donald Trump were the ones responsible for violence. Let me make sure we're clear. Our guy gets shot at, but you're going to say that somehow or another, it's Republicans who are creating the atmosphere that is inciting violence. That's what you're going to say. Here's my experience. If they're saying we're the ones doing it, it means it's what they're doing. That's pretty much where we are. If they're going to blame us for something, it's because it's what they're actually doing. So Joy Reid said this. She says, the irony of it is that the violence, the actual violence we're seeing, comes much more disproportionately from MAGA themselves. MAGA. From MAGA. Whether it's January 6th. Oh, there you go. Oh, let's invoke January 6th again. Your tired old narrative, your worn out discourse. It says, whether it's January 6th, whether it's them threatening election workers. What? Threatening election workers? Whether it's bomb threats coming into schools in Springfield. They were called in from overseas. The violence is coming from them, from their own supporters, yet they try to portray Haitian immigrants as the people to fear. Could she conflate one more thing, please? Let's see. Let's find a riot that happened 4 years ago that they labeled insurrection, and let's go ahead and talk about a onesies or a twosies where someone allegedly said something mean on social media about an election worker, and then let's take bomb threats that came from overseas and talk about Haitian migrants and use all that somehow to blame Republicans for why Donald Trump's being shot at. But keep in mind that guests and hosts on MSNBC over time have labeled Trump as like a racist, a threat to democracy. That's one of their favorite, a fascist. They've called him mentally unstable. They're portraying him as some kind of caricature of who he really is. They're inciting this stuff. I've got an audio clip here. The Trump campaign, you got that audio, man? All right. I got an audio clip here. The Trump campaign did a great job of putting out a series of times where there have been inflammatory and even violent rhetoric used against the Trump campaign or against Republicans in general. And then I found an audio track that has a bunch of them compiled. You're going to hear a mix of what I would call leftist progressive activist, you know, actors and rock stars, and some of the voices you're going to recognize, like Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and any number of other senior Democrats. I'm going to play this. I may stop you midstream. It's kind of long, so I may stop you at some point and talk about it. Let's go ahead, Big Rig. Go ahead and play it.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick them.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this
country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I mean, listen, that's disturbing. I mean, it's infuriating for me to find it when I resource the show. It's even more infuriating when I'm sitting here just listening to it with you. That kind of rhetoric is exactly the reason why people are shooting at Donald Trump.
I've actually seen some of that, when it was aired.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of disturbing. Yeah, it's disturbing when they put it all together. It's crazy.
It is crazy. But if you think about it, too, what you just saw there, it spans several years.
Yeah. It's not just like recent. It's like the past few years.
They've been building this momentum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, good point. They literally have been building this rhetoric over time. And if you get down to it, when I'm saying a moment ago, we cannot become desensitized to the idea that shooting candidates is a norm. It's not. I will say this. I believe the left has been desensitizing their own side to the idea that violence is probably okay. I think that they have been building the moment, building the rhetoric, building the environment that leads to instability. They have. When they say things like when Maxine Waters, my God, does that woman even have a brain left in her head? When she gets up there and starts screaming that they need to get out and make a scene whenever they see somebody at a gas station, we're talking about innocent people who might have a Trump sticker on their car.
And you'll notice a lot of these people that are saying this stuff are celebrities.
Oh yeah, and celebrities like, okay, you live large and you live free and you've got the ability to hunker down on your millions and no one's going to mess with your security because you're fine, but you're going to call out and you're going to say things like, I'd like to punch him in the face. I don't care if I ever see another Robert De Niro movie ever again, ever. I mean, I can listen to Foo Fighters even though they don't like Trump and they talk about it. I'm fine with, you know, some things, but there are certain people that have gone over the line. One of them was Bruce Springsteen, the other one's Robert De Niro. I can't do their stuff anymore. I just can't. And it's because they call for things like what we're talking about. They literally are building the environment where violence is not just being desensitized, they're actually calling for it. And then they laugh. And no one holds them accountable. And then when Trump is shot at, they try to say that somehow or another, that those of us on the right are the ones who are in some way building the environment that they've been building for years. So here's the bottom line. Trump is under fire because A, we've got a Secret Service that is still struggling to find its feet. Thank God for the rank and file, but the leadership of the Secret Service needs a change. The assets and the alignment of the Secret Service on protection details needs a solid look because it does not seem like they are really assigning teams the way they should. There's that. Number two, there's a mystery around this guy who was the near shooter we had on Sunday, and I'm glad to see that Ron DeSantis is conducting a separate interview at the state of Florida because I do not trust that the organization like the DOJ and the FBI, which are prosecuting fake crimes against Donald Trump right now are the ones who are going to investigate and tell us how it went. And then number three, the shooter was a known entity. We know details about him now that go way beyond anything that should have been ignored. And then number four, the Democrats are trying to blame the rhetoric on us. That's insulting. When we can play back audio like what I just played you. All right. That's enough of that. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come right back and I'm going to switch gears. I'm trying to decide, am I doing Law and Order or Pager Bombs next? I think I got to do Pager Bombs. I think we're going to Pager Bombs next. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades is what I like to say. Let me take some text messages before I jump into the next dipper. I'll do that because you guys are some texting machines today. I am just saying. Let me see what all we got on in here. Jim from Grove Oak says, glad you're back, Colonel. Well, thank you, Jim. Says, Feinbaum didn't cut it, and we have a country to save. Thank you, sir. Scott from Somerville says, I saw a story that there was a car loaded with explosives parked close to where Trump's supposed to be holding a rally in New York. Is there any truth to that? I have not seen that. There's nothing on the headlines right now about that. Scott, if you have a story on that that's from a reliable source, go ahead and just text it over to me. I'd like to see it. Right now, what we do know is that Trump is having a rally in, I think, in Long Island tonight. So, to my knowledge, there's no reporting on that I've seen. David from Coleman. Coleman is talking about the situation with how the guy knew where to be, the shooter. He said, is there a mole? Maybe. The guy's getting his information from somewhere, right? Brian from Decatur says, I'll say the quiet part out loud, what I'm sure everyone's thinking. This reeks and shows all the evidence of an inside job. There's way too many coincidences, way too many unexplainable failures, which anyone not even in the business can identify. Yeah, that's the rub. I think that's why we've got to find out. I mean, has someone been compromised? Has someone been able to source information that they shouldn't have been able to get access to? Or for that matter, has there been a true, you know, and I hate to say the inside job piece too much, but I agree with you. I think that's first of all, you cannot just rule it out of hand. I don't want it to be there. I think it's the least likely. At the same time, everything points to this having too many weird traces on it. James from St. Clair County says, are y'all discussing the bomb found at the Trump rally in New York a few hours ago? Okay, there's a second person saying it. Perpetrator fled the scene, they say. James, if you've got a story on it, I need you to go ahead and text it to me, all right? Allie from Athens says, Colonel, in the purview of Governor DeSantis I'm not sure what she's saying. Is it in the purview of Governor DeSantis to, on any level, dispatch National Guard marksmen to protect President Trump? Sure it is. Absolutely. There'd have to be some interagency coordinations. But yes, a state National Guard can call up its people for anything they want to, anytime they want to. They have to declare a state emergency, generally speaking, I believe, to call them up. But yes, I think they can. Plus, every state has some guardsmen who stay on active duty at all times. Jay from Killen says, Bongino, formerly with Secret Service, says the security assets are assigned by office held rather than risk assessment. Yeah, well, they need to rearrange some of that. Because I'm telling you, one of the things I think is going to have to come out of this is a look at the manner in which assets are assigned. I don't know. I'm not. Bongino knows better than I would, but I can just tell you that if there's a designation of by position, then we assign, and they are disregarding, you know, threat level, then I think that they're missing something and they need to relook at it. Ron from Tuscumbia says Trump's security team is doing the best they can with what they're being afforded, but the higher ups of the Secret Service are failing him. I agree with that. Mac from Athens says, Phil, what's he saying here? He says, I think your voice texted to me, brother, and I can't get it. Mac from Athens says, oh, couldn't get a few nerds with drones to be better than 50 agents on the ground. Both of these attempts could have been stopped by drones. I don't get why no one's brought this up. That's a great point, Mac. And I'm wondering if that's the same Mac that I met yesterday at the Athens State thing. So anyway, Mac, good point. I would like to think they had overhead cover of some kind, drone capability. They're supposed to, but whether or not it was assigned for this one, I don't know. John M. from Huntsville says, someone leaked Trump's plan to play golf. Who suggested that Trump play golf? What day and time? What day and time were the Secret Service notified? Who notified them of that day and time? And who else told him they were going to play golf? John from Huntsville says, this Ryan Routh guy, the shooter, reminds me of the episode of Andy Griffith's show where Ernest T. Bass tried to join the military. They wouldn't let him in because he was a nut. Yeah, no doubt. John from Harvest says, it really saddens me to say this, but I think Trump will have more attempts on his life. And the rhetoric from this administration, as shown recently by the press secretary, seems to indicate their strategy is to keep winding and winding until something and someone breaks. They don't even see a grand conspiracy to get what they want. Trump gone. All they need is planned negligence like the last two attempts. Wow, you guys are some texting monsters today. Jenny from Decatur says, is there any way you or Big Rig can put those horrible things that Dems say into a space where we can post them on our Facebook page? You know what? I will try and retweet them on my Twitter, which is @Sen, that's S-E-N, Phil Williams, momentarily. In the meantime, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.